Right now, we're joined on the phone by Tom Jensen, the director of public policy polling, publicpolicypolling.com, their website, at PPP Polls on Twitter as well for more news and analysis all the time. Talking about an upcoming vote, not in North Carolina, but a couple of states over in Kansas tomorrow that a lot of people are watching very closely. Tom, thank you so much for being with us today. Good morning.
Hey, Aaron. Good to be with you.
And the vote from Kansas is a number of items presumably on the ballot, but the big one that a lot of folks are watching is an initiative on the ballot regarding abortion policy in the state of Kansas. Kansas is a conservative state, but as we've seen in the last month and a half since the Supreme Court came down with its decision overturning Roe v. Wade, that decision has really thrown political conventional wisdom up in the air a little bit. So where do things stand in Kansas right now?
Yeah, so Kansas, maybe a little bit surprisingly, given what a conservative state it is, has abortion protections written into the state constitution right now, such that, you know, there's been all these red states that have moved to pass these really restrictive abortion laws since the Supreme Court decision. And right now, the Kansas legislature Republicans couldn't even do that if they wanted to. So what this vote tomorrow is to try to change the Constitution so that those abortion rights aren't in there anymore, and then the legislature can do whatever they want. And of course, as you noted, Kansas is a very conservative state. But what we find going into this election tomorrow is that the polling is almost evenly divided between people who say that they're going to vote yes and people who say they're going to vote no on this amendment. And if you asked me to make a prediction, I would probably predict that it ends up failing for a couple reasons. One is that historically with ballot measures related to sort of restricting abortion rights, people who are undecided at the end move towards voting no. So it's always possible that it could be different this time around. But in the past, that's usually what happens, is sort of the hardcore anti-abortion people are in the yes column from the start. And then people who don't feel as passionately about the issue more towards to end up voting no in the end. But the other thing that I think is really sort of interesting about this this particular thing is the whole thing is written in sort of a cryptic way so that people may not totally understand what they're voting for. The name of this amendment in Kansas, that's basically to make it so that abortion could be made illegal, is called the Value Them Both Amendment. And the whole premise of it is that because Kansas values both women and children, blah, 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 all the legalese, but it's sort of framed as being this thing about helping women and children. Of course, everybody wants to help women and children, sort of in a generic sense, if they don't totally understand what they're doing. So one thing that was interesting was that because the ballot language is confusing, we also just straight up asked people, do you want the state legislature to make stricter laws about abortion or not? And only 43% of voters in the state think that the Kansas legislature should pass more laws restricting abortion rights. 51% are opposed to that. And the reason that you see the ballot measure tied, even though people oppose stricter abortion laws by 8 points, is that some people who oppose stricter abortion rights say that they're voting yes right now, because they don't understand what they're voting for. They value women and children, so they're voting for this thing to value women and children. So the other interesting dynamic that I'll be watching sort of as the results come in tomorrow is, in the last week, did people sort of become more educated fully about exactly what they were voting on, such that you don't have these people who say, oh, I'm voting yes, when they actually don't want what voting yes means.
This is a thing with ballot referendums. I know we've talked about this in the past in North Carolina with Amendment 1 back in 2012, whatever year that was. That was the anti-gay marriage amendment, where the wording of the amendment had all the difference in the world in terms of it passing or not passing.
Yeah, with that particular thing, I think something that just shows the extent to which small differences in wordings of ballot measures can make a huge difference in terms of how they play out. There was at the same time two different polls. One of them asked, do you support or oppose banning gay marriage? And people said 2-1 that they opposed banning gay marriage. And then there was another poll of the actual ballot language, which was, do you support or oppose defining marriage in North Carolina as being between one man and one woman? And people said 2-1 that they supported that, even though it's the exact same thing as banning gay marriage. But the phrase banning gay marriage sounds punitive, sounds like you're taking away people's rights. People didn't like that. If you just are defining marriage, even though it's the same thing as banning gay marriage, that sounds innocuous, and people went for it. So that definitely shows you how small differences and how these ballot questions are worded can lead to huge differences in terms of how they play out.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, public policy polling. So we'll follow that vote in Kansas on Tuesday. Kind of in general, where do things stand in the country with regard to that abortion issue in general? I know we had big polling shifts right after the Supreme Court came down with its decision. We also know that a lot of times a big thing happens and it shifts the polls, but that shift doesn't last. Has it lasted so far?
Yeah, there's definitely a meaningful and continual position that the public holds that they do not want. They don't like what the Supreme Court did. They don't want stricter abortion laws. And it really is reshaping, I think, the election this year to some extent. I think the big way that it's sort of shifting what might happen this fall is that a big part of why Joe Biden won and the gains that Democrats made in 2018 was that a lot of well-educated suburban voters who had traditionally voted Republican moved towards the Democrats because they didn't like Donald Trump. And then part of the reason why Democrats had such a rough year last year in Virginia and New Jersey is that those kinds of voters, those people who voted for Romney but then also voted for Biden, tended to move back to the Republicans because they sort of said, oh, you know, Trump was an anomaly and we're fine with regular Republicans. And that sort of attitude helped Virginia, helped Republicans win the governor's race in Virginia, helped them almost win the governor's race in New Jersey. And I think what the abortion decision has done is make some of those kinds of voters say, okay, Republicans really are just completely extreme. It's not just Trump. And if we don't want the country to go off in this direction, we're just going to have to keep voting Democratic. It's not just a one-time thing against Trump to vote Democratic. We're going to have to vote Democratic more often. So we're seeing shifts among those sorts of suburban, well-educated voters who were Republicans, voted Democratic the last two elections, didn't necessarily become Democrats, sort of wanted to go back to voting Republican, and now the Republicans are making it clear to them that the Republicans are going to keep on being extreme. That helps the chances of Democrats winning those voters for years to come.
And then finally, as we start to wrap up, kind of picking up on that, we're seeing a number of states around the country as we get into primary season, more and more Democrats kind of and left-leaning independents kind of flipping over to the Republican side to vote in the primaries to try to make sure those more irregular, far-right, extreme Republicans get nominated. Presumably with the idea that that would give them a better chance in the general election. How does that work as a strategy going forward? Do you think that actually is a successful move by Democrats?
Yeah, there's so much controversy about the fact that Democrats have been messing around in these Republican primaries all over the country. But I'll just tell you a couple specific polls that I think shows what a savvy strategy this is ending up being. 2 weeks ago, the Republican primary for governor in Maryland, which has actually had a Republican governor for the last 8 years, was basically a litmus test between whether Republicans in Maryland wanted to be the party of Donald Trump or be the party of Larry Hogan, their moderate governor who managed to win two terms in a very blue state. And Democrats sort of gave support to the extreme Trump candidate because they thought that would take the state off the table for the general election, that if that guy Dan Cox won the nomination, the Democrats would be good to go. And he did win the nomination, and we did a poll in Maryland last week, and Joe Biden's approval rating in Maryland was only +2 net approval, even though that's a state that he won by more than 30 points. So that really speaks to his unpopularity. Democrats were up by 32 points in the governor's race. They were outrunning Biden's net approval by 30 points because the Republican candidate's too extreme. And also in the Pennsylvania governor's race and the Illinois governor's race, where similar efforts were made, those races have basically gone off the table, become racist, that Democrats can safely win because Republicans have gone too extreme. And Democrats just made sure that Republican voters knew who the Trumpiest candidate was, and the Republican voters went and voted for those people and gave Democrats a big boost for the general. So lots of controversy about this practice. So far, it seems to be working out pretty well.
PublicPolicyPolling.com, the website. Find more news and numbers and analysis all the time on Twitter as well, at PPP Polls. Tom Jensen, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.